Welcome to the Talking About Horses podcast with Di Denton, where we talk about all things horses. From interviews with leading horse people and industry experts, to useful and usable ideas, resources and discussions, we're talking about horses. Today's Talking About Horses episode is brought to you by Muddy Creek Rain Gear, the riding rain gear that really works. Whether it's long, short or high-vis rain gear that you're after, there'll be something to keep you dry and comfortable in any range of weathers in the Muddy Creek Rain Gear range. Check it out at www.muddycreekraingear.com.au. So, if you're ready, let's get going. Another interesting episode awaits. Talking about horses today with Joe Briggs from Horse Welfare Incorporated of Glen Oak. Horse Welfare Incorporated is the most fabulous animal charity in the world, or New South Wales. Muddy Creek Rain Gear supports them and all the work they do, their team there does a great job. We're talking today about large animal rescue. Now, I don't know anything about this. I don't imagine a lot of people do. So we're just going to let Joe tell us all about it and go from there. Hi, Joe.
How you going, Di? Lovely talking to you again. Look, what large animal emergency rescue is about most of us on this channel will own horses, and at some point or other you're either going to come across a disaster or be involved in a disaster with your horse. And that could be you come home, you find your horse in your swimming pool in the backyard, you find a horse stuck in a dam somewhere or fallen down an embankment and into a creek in an overturned horse float or truck on the side of the road, God forbid.
Oh, fills me with horror.
Yeah, look, there's disasters everywhere and in many shapes or forms. It might simply be you had your horse tied up to wash it and it jumped over the gate and it's got stuck through the gate. So there's all these things can happen, and we're talking about unpredictable animals here. So they, you know, they randomly do things based on their nature of reaction, their flight and fight mechanisms. So horses do end up in awkward situations. And what we do is we try to get them out of those awkward situations. So we're also RFS members, so we're involved in firefighting. And again, horses in fire, as we've seen across this country, there's been some tragic situations in the last few years with Canberra fires and Victorian fires and Queensland fires and floods, for that matter, where horses have been a focal point of some of the things that have happened there, and we've seen some incredible tragedy. So what we're trying to do with our technical large animal emergency rescue, and we call that TALEA, is we're travelling around the countryside doing training with people to try and give them some tools to manage those situations. We also do it actively, so if we're called in our area, we rush out with all of our gear and extract the animals from the situation.
Now, you're in Glen Oak in the Hunter Valley?
Yeah, we're in the Hunter Valley. So we do cover down as far as the Central Coast and right up as far as Wingham here, Taree, those sorts of areas. Logistically, we'll go anywhere. But the case is, if your horse is in a pool and it's in a duress situation,
it's
a timing factor. And, you know, we can't be everywhere in 5 minutes. So we're helping SES and RFS. We're doing training with all of those guys. And a large volume of those organisations are starting to catch on to this and starting to buy the equipment that they need to do it. So our focus is about showing people what tools they should be using, where to hook up a horse to pull it out of a, you know, out of a situation, how to get it out, what to think about, where are its legs, how to get it out safely. And so many situations we see people just hook a rope or a lead or a halter up to a horse's head and try and pull it out by its head or its front legs, and it's a no-go zone. You just don't do that. If you want it to come out and function at the other end, you need to get it out appropriately. And so, you know, it's working with the local vets and talking to the vets about when we sedate and when we don't sedate and what the risk is. What the whole, you know, if you've pulled a horse out of a river, for example, what's the after process? What happens after we get it out and it's upright and it's standing and everyone goes, oh, thank God, the horse is out, it's all good. It's not all good. There's an after-sale service as such that needs to happen, and there's communication with your vet. And the likelihood that that horse has had a lungs full of water and it's going to need to be on antibiotics and it's going to be watched carefully for a number of days, if not weeks, to get it over what's happened to it, what it's stretched, what it's pulled, what it's broken, what it's injured. So there's it's not just out and because it walks away, it's okay. We need to think about that as well. So we've got a number of pieces of equipment that have cost us a considerable amount of money in fundraising to get, and we've still got quite a number of pieces that we want to get as well, that we can sling a horse, we can float a horse in water, we can drag a horse and slide a horse, we can sedate it and get it out of a boggy area and onto a float and to a vet clinic or to a surgery or whatever needs to happen. So, you know, we talk to people about all those processes. We talk about humane euthanasia as well, because in every instance it doesn't end well, and that's a reality. So we talk about how that needs to happen and what people can do in those situations. But, you know, basically we're getting out there, we're showing people a lot of video footage about what can happen and a lot of photos, and we're talking to them about things that they should and shouldn't do. So we do an awareness course, and that's just for the horse owner. That's just to say to them, you know, if you're out and you're travelling your horse on your own on a float and this happens to you, or you're out riding and your horse falls in a dam or slips off the edge of the cliff, these are things you need to think about. These are the things you should probably be taking with you every day you go out for a ride.
So what are those things?
So, you know, simple halters. We use rope halters for this. We don't say that rope halters are best in every instance. We do use them all the time, but soft halters around the horse's head when it's lying down, so you're not sticking things into the side of its face, metal buckles that heat up, those sorts of things. We're talking about straps and slings that you can use. Improvising and using the girth that's on your saddle if you're out somewhere, and what you can hook that up to that might exist out in a paddock that you find. Using what you have, your lunge whip, we can use that to pull straps in and out from underneath a horse. So your vest, you might have a riding vest and you can use that to take off and put around your horse's head to protect your horse's head from an injury. You could take a bra off and put it over your horse's eyes to protect their eyes, which is incredibly important if you're having to drag or move the horse. So, you know, we work through a number of what we've got as expensive equipment and what you can improvise with if you're out there and you're stuck and you just have to do something. So the session we run for awareness is a whole day session. When we get into the advanced, it's more like 2 days, where we set up a whole lot of real life scenarios and make people think about what they're going to do to get the animal out. And in some of those cases, it'll be bringing along compressors and mud lances and water, and you know, you can't just pull a horse out of the mud that's stuck or fast into the mud, because you could pull its whole four legs off. So, you know, all sorts of situations, things you can do if the vet's not there, by using some different massage techniques to calm your horse if you haven't got a vet there to sedate it. And, you know, in many situations you won't get a vet there in a hurry. So safety, where should you be? Where should you stand? What should you do? Where should you not stand? And pretty much that's anywhere near the horse. So how do we manage that when we shouldn't be anywhere near the horse? Because being an unpredictable animal, and the horse can react, and you might know your Fluffy or your Princey very well, but you don't know them in the situation that they're in now, and you don't know what they're going to do if they need to try and survive, if they feel that their life's threatened or they're stuck or they're trapped. So every horse reacts differently in different situations, and we need to explain to people that there's certain things that they need to look out for. And the average horse owner won't know that, and they won't know that not because they're idiots, they just won't know that because they've never been exposed to it
and never thought about it and tried not to think about it.
And let's face it, if you did think about it, you wouldn't go anywhere.
No,
you know, you'd never load your horse up on a float and you'd never drive out your front gate.
Yeah.
If you thought about all the things that can happen. So it's not about being an alarmist, it's
it's more having thought about it. You've sort of got those thought processes in your head that oh well, I could use that or I could do that.
Yeah, it's starting to look, I've had some exposure to this, and many people have done the course and said to me, look, I don't think I'd be able to do it if it was my horse, but at least I could go, I know you're not supposed to be pulling it out by its head.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it's more about, I might be in a panic situation and not be able to take control of the whole event, and we don't want the horse owner to take control of the event, because they're going to be the least sane person there at that point in time.
Yeah.
So the horse owner needs to have something else to do while the experts come in and do the job. But it's about them understanding that there is a process that's going to happen, and, you know, there is the likelihood the horse will react in these ways, but this is what has to happen to get them out safely.
Wow. Okay. Mm. So you're training up RFS and SES crews around...
Yeah, and a lot of them already are. SES have their own program as well. A couple of their guys from Hawkesbury region have been trained in advanced training and use these methods all the time. But it's a matter of getting out to each agency, and there's so many. There's so many people in emergency services that we're working with. We work with the police and the AMBOs. In a lot of cases, the ambulance are the first to get called to these situations, and those poor guys turn up and go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's got four legs, this one. How do we deal with it? So, you know, we're working with those guys as well. Anyone that's interested, we're doing training for the horse owner as well, but, you know, we're trying to help with all the emergency services that we can to give them some basic skills. And, you know, not even go and purchase all the expensive equipment, but to turn up with their truck, which has the gear on, and we can say to them, you can use that and that and that that's already on your truck. These are the things you can use. This is the way you hook it up. And this is what you need to do.
Wow. So aside from a mobile phone, what
yes.
would be the most important piece of equipment that, I could put in my horse float as a possible use in a scenario that I might need?
Look, I'd be looking at having a 2 or a 3 ton sling strap.
Like a snatch it strap
yes.
from a four-wheel drive strap?
Well, you can certainly use them. They shouldn't be thin like ropes. They need to be a wide 2 or 3 inch strap. But if you've got a soft sling or a big tie-down strap, a wide tie-down strap, those things will help in many, many instances.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So what are the most common scenarios, say the top three scenarios that animals...
Oh, pools and dams. Horses stuck in water in our area here. We certainly don't have ice rescues or a lot of snow rescues in this area. But you know, they would happen in other parts of the country. But, yeah, horses stuck in dams and in swimming pools.
Swimming pools,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. People leave their gates open or they have them out on rural properties that aren't fenced. They think the horse is going to understand or know that it's a pool, and they do in most cases, but they're also used to being able to walk into a dam and have a swim. So if they feel a bit of water and they go to step in and they lose their balance, they're straight in. A lot of pools have covers on them, and so a horse will think they can walk on it and they'll step onto it.
Straight down,
yeah.
How likely is it in the event of floats tipping over, things like that? I mean, when you're towing and you've got a horse that mightn't be that steady in the float and it's rocking around, it's always a bit, but in reality, how often
Very
does that
likely,
happen?
Yeah.
Really?
Look, it's very likely, and it could just be not because there's anything wrong with the float, but just because somebody pulls out in front of the driver quickly, they have to brake, the float starts to wobble because the horse moves. Things can happen. You know, so many people go off to shows for a weekend. They come home at the end of the weekend. They're very tired. Drivers are tired. They haven't hooked their float up properly. The float can come away. Floating, trucking, transporting horses is an absolute nightmare. We all do it. Mm. Everybody does it everywhere, and we have to, I guess,
if you want to do anything with horses.
Yeah,
unless
you stay home like a hermit for the rest of your life. You can opt to do that as well. I mean, that'd be something I wouldn't mind. But the reality is we're human and we make mistakes and shit happens.
Yeah, right. Look, it's just been fascinating. The large animal horse rescue is not something that I've known anything about, and you've really given me a good insight to it and much food for thought, and I will be going
Absolutely.
To the auto accessory place and getting myself a nice big sling strap of some sort because, yeah, it's... You know, it's just not something that you can grab very quickly.
No, and look, there is a book written by a lady in Queensland, Mary Ann Layton, and it's just called Emergency Rescue, and Equine Emergency Rescue, and it's available online. You can buy it from Mary Ann, which is equineer.com is her website. It's only $29 or $30 to buy the book, but Mary Ann's got a lot of good pictures in there of a lot of equipment that we all use.
Yep.
She does training as well across the country, and it's a really nice little soft-covered book that's got lots of good pictures from events that have happened in this country as well. So it's an
really
Australian-focused resource. Yeah, it's a great little book. We use it with our training. We demonstrate to everybody, you know, what's in the book. But jump online. You can buy it. You can buy it as a PDF and download it as well and have a look through it and see some of the bits and pieces of gear that we use and see some of the situations because she's got a lot of graphic photos. We've got a lot on our Facebook page and also on our website. But jump across there and have a look at the book for, you know, for $30. It's a good resource to have.
Right. Well, look, thanks very much for your time today. This has just been fascinating and really informative. If people want to know more about large animal rescue, do they go to your horse welfare site?
Absolutely. Yep, drop us a line, send an email. We're happy to do demos in any area. We're travelling around doing that when we can, fitting it into our otherwise uninteresting day.
Yeah, that's right. but we've got nothing else to do, have you?
No, we've got nothing else to do, and we love to see the countryside. And we're happy to travel around and do that with your local emergency services and your local horse people, and talk about fire and talk about water, and you know, set up a day and have a bit of fun.
That sounds great. I think we might be able to organise something like that. So your website again is www.horsewelfare.com.au.
Correct.
Thanks very much, Jo.
No worries, Doy.
Thanks for listening to the Talking About Horses podcast today. This podcast has been brought to you by Muddy Creek Rain Gear. Rain gear for people who love to ride no matter what the weather. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I'd love it if you were to subscribe, share it with your friends, and leave a review on iTunes. If you'd like to find out more about today's conversation topic or continue the conversation, then simply head over to the Talking About Horses podcast page on the Muddy Creek Rain Gear website at www.muddycreekraingear.com.au/news, where you can also check out their great range of wet weather gear. Thanks for listening. I'll be talking about horses again soon.